We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
Spend some time with our friends Danny Parkins and Matt Spiegel.
Yes.
Afternoons on the Score.
Let me tell you, Cliff, you might not know much about me, but I come to work hoping to get a mention of Todd Pratt that makes me smile.
You're a beautiful man. That is amazing. Cliff, you may not know much about me. It's possible. Well, this is what gets my juices flowing.
Let's remember some guys. You know?
Yeah, sure. Let's just say some names.
Dude.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, sometimes it's all it takes
to
make you smile. I don't think that's unique to baseball, necessarily, right?
No, sometimes you just want to hear a Benny Agbayani. You know what I mean? You just want to hear a random name.
Look, when we were talking about running backs who had 1,000 yards, it was fun to just hear those names out of the blue. For me, thinking about Ricky Waters in transition.
That's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great receiving running backs. And then I Googled it and I'm like, oh, look, Garrison Hurst. That's fun.
I don't know many Garrisons.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fun.
He was good and then he was hurt and then he was good again and I liked him and I had him on a fantasy league for a couple of weeks in there.
That did surprise me that Roger Craig won of only three running backs.
Me too.
Right? That's fun little trivia.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, three running backs with 1,000 receiving, 1,000 rushing, the other two, Christian McCaffrey and Marshall Faulk.
But Cliff Floyd yesterday on Hit and Run was just like talking about dudes, just like throwing
just
names.
Name dropping?
Well, because like, yeah, we're talking about like, you know, the guys that you played with who helped you when you were a young player.
Yeah.
And then the guys that you helped when you were an old player.
Okay.
And who that was for him. And that just led to kind of a wide-ranging, fun conversation where he threw in Todd Pratt's name, and I got happy.
Yeah, Larry Walker, Marquise Grissom.
Yes!
And he mentored David Wright when he was a Met.
Oh, yes!
A lot of names being thrown
so
around.
So many names were thrown around. I totally remember those guys.
It's a little bit Saturday Night Live. Remember when you did that thing? That
it
was
is.
Awesome.
But who's it? Was it Deadspin before it died that used to do Let's Remember Some Guys? Maybe they do it on Defector now, where like literally all they're doing is just like talking about players that used to be around.
Deadspin, to clarify, still active. It's just run by horrible people.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not the good Deadspin anymore.
Yeah, well, that's a thing.
Defector is good Deadspin. Deadspin is bad Deadspin.
Bad Deadspin.
Right.
Okay. Bad Deadspin.
Bad.
Bad.
Stop trying to beat Deadspin. Deadspin, you're dead.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Stop pretending you're Deadspin.
Yeah. It's imposter. It's just not nice.
Stop playing Deadspin.
Yeah.
There it is.
There we got there. All right. So I first time, but I missed Hit and Run.
Man.
So
that's okay.
I apologize.
Uh-huh.
I want to support all of your endeavors. But I missed it.
Yeah.
And so you said in the group chat today, you said we got one up and one down. One guest went very well.
Oh, yeah.
One went not so well.
I
haven't heard either of them. You could guess which one I'm looking more forward to.
I understand.
But go ahead, sir.
I do not. I don't know if there's somebody I like just talking baseball with and sort of the life of baseball with than Cliff Floyd. I think that guy's awesome. I'm doing this thing now where the last hour of Hit and Run is simulcast on Marquee. And so a different Marquee person is coming on each week. And yesterday was Cliff. And I just love the whole conversation. The part that I told you about there with the old person who mentored him and then who he mentored.
All right.
And then just other stuff. And there was and what did we grab? Is this about Nico? Yeah, because then when we were talking about the team, he was saying something that they need to do. And I thought this was on point for sure.
You got to play the game like you and I and like everybody's listening has seen them play in April. If you're not running, if you're not doing some of the things that we saw this team do early, it's going to be hard to keep that mentality that we're talking about. Mm-hmm. You have to play that way. I know Nico is dealing with the hamstring and getting back on his feet, but he is the table setter that I thought was going to be the game changer of the season. And I'm not saying he isn't. What I'm saying is if this team is not going to run and do some of the things, because while Wisdom has 14 homers, Morrell has 9, we're not hitting the ballpark consistently. So you're going to have to figure out a way to manufacture and as a group come together. And as you mentioned before we came on, you're only 5 out.
Yep.
So you can overcome the Reds and the Pirates if you do some of the things that you did in April that we saw as, like, whoa, this could be a different season.
Yeah, so, you know, like, it was a good conversation.
Love
on
that.
Multiple levels, and I think he's spot on about Nico right there. He needs to be more aggressive. They got to score runs any way they can.
Yeah, you know, Nico is telling us, and he'll join us tomorrow, that for most of his life he's been a two-hitter. He's been the leadoff hitter, obviously, for a huge period here. He had the hamstring issue, but scored from second. You talked about that earlier, right? But then also had the moment in the on Saturday's game.
Mm-hmm.
He almost had a web gem, man. I thought he was going to make that play. He was in a full on sprint. He looked good when he was running towards the foul line, trying to get to the over the shoulder catch. Ended up not catching it, and then they ruled it in fair territory. But
yeah,
Seems like he's recovered from the hamstring injury. So we can talk to him tomorrow if there's a reason why the running game has slowed down for him. Because I don't believe it just from watching him over the weekend in the last, I don't know, 7 days or so.
Yeah.
I don't believe it to still be a physical issue, but we could ask him.
He had 10 stolen bases in April and 4 in May. And
had the hamstring, though, but so I wonder if he thinks he'll go back to,
right,
you know, an 8 stolen base clip or something like that per month for, you know, June, July, August.
Yeah, and obviously the whole league was running more right there at the top as everybody started to get a feeling out process.
Figure out the rules and
so,
everything.
So, yeah, we'll discuss with him tomorrow. But I thought, like, so with Cliff, man, we laughed, had a great conversation.
He sure
was not afraid to be critical and just talk about baseball. So, yeah, that was the one-up. So that was really good. And that's where the hour ended.
Okay. And then what happened?
Then I talked to Mike Talkman. I was excited to talk to Mike.
Well, JD, I think you nicknamed him the Palatine Pounder.
Yeah, why not? Yeah,
well, so that's exciting. So then you talked to Mike Talkman, the Palatine Pounder.
On the way into the interview, I'm thinking, man, I'm so psyched for this.
Yeah.
Palatine's own. I wonder if he was a scorehead. I wonder if he likes the Pounder. Interesting career.
Got a lot of things to talk about with him.
Yeah,
sure,
man.
Yeah, okay.
Some time in New York with the Yankees.
Does he think of Top Golf?
Exactly. Where should the Bears go? You know, who's your favorite score host and why isn't it me? Just like all kinds of stuff.
Quarter draft.
Super excited.
I got Southport round one.
Oh, nice job.
Yep.
Nice value. All right. So,
I was all excited to talk about
it. Yeah, sure. And
then I made the decision to lead with the Pounder. Okay.
I would have done the same.
Right. Get the man's thought. He's got a nickname.
Got to warm him up first, because everyone knows that. You got to just a little bit of, you
I don't know,
rubbing we're around.
Break the ice.
Yeah, like loosen him up first.
Loosen him up.
Also, my guy Sean Sears is like, you know, hustling, thinking about an open because we weren't sure we were going to get him. I was like, oh, yeah, we got the Palatine Pounder. It's perfect.
Man, you never go in first with the Pounder.
Oh, so you played it for him? Did he hear it?
I think Tanny grabbed it.
Okay.
And Mike Talkman, welcome to the show. How are you, sir?
Doing well. Thanks for having me.
You got it. Are you okay with the Palatine Pounder? Have you heard that? Are you all right with that as a possible nickname? That's from Jim DeShays.
I don't know about that one.
I know. I mean, I don't know. You're not necessarily a pounder as a hitter, but it's just, it's alliteration, right? What I didn't know is if other people in Palatine would be okay with you being the official pounder of Palatine. Like, there's probably somebody else who might.
Yeah,
want.
Yeah. There's probably someone else that's heard that one before. It's not bad though.
Not bad,
dude. That is not your fault.
That's he hated it.
That is not your fault.
You don't think so?
He did not come to play.
No.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, well, it's early. It's early out there on the West Coast.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know, Shane. Like, he's allowed. I think you're right. I think I should have buttered him up and just had a conversation. Dude is psyched. He's back in the major leagues after playing in Korea last year.
Mike Talkman is the guy next to you on the airplane that you're really trying to have a conversation with, but he's like trying to shoot you down subtly.
One word answers.
Yeah.
And Mike Talkman, welcome to the show. How are you, sir?
Doing well, thanks.
Oh, no.
Right then, you knew, man.
Right then, it was in trouble. Oh, I think he already heard it. He heard the highlight. He heard the Palatine Pounder in the open on the way in, and he was. I think I broke him. I think me and Sean Sears broke that man's baseball soul. He was excited to come on in Chicago.
It sounds like
I
it.
Yeah. Yeah. Talking Mike Talkman here on 670 The Score. Wanted to ask you if... So the Pounder might not have a lot of lasting life. I don't even know if JD or anybody has used it. How about the John Sterling one? Because you are blessed with a John Sterling one as well.
Talkman, the Sockman.
Did you enjoy that one? Did people ever come up to you in New York and bring it to your attention?
Shut up.
Yeah. I wasn't sure about it right away, but the guys in the clubhouse really, really seemed to love it. And that kind of, made me love it. And, that was a really special group of guys. So, we were really, really close as a team. So with them, screaming it at me and, occasionally a random New Yorker would say it to me, it made it fun and it kind of makes it your own. And, obviously John's the best at coming up with those off the cuff. So it was fun. It turned into something that I ended up really liking.
This is going great.
That's much better than the first one.
Yeah.
That's a recovery, I feel like. He embraced it. His teammates liked it.
Sockman. Yeah.
Okay. He doesn't like the Pounder. He's a Sockman, not a Pounder.
He's a Sockman, not a Pounder. Let me text Jim DeShays.
We'll get the word over there to Boots and JD let him know that he's a Sockman and not a Pounder.
Let them know.
I think that was what I would say is good for you because you easily could have just pulled the ripcord and gotten out of there. When the Pounder thing went as poorly as it did.
Oh, when the pain set in?
Yeah, because when you were just now listening back to the Palatine Pounder, your head was in your hands, you were flushed with embarrassment, and you barreled through his yield sign, his stop sign, his yellow light, his caution while merging. You barreled through all of them, and you went to the Talkman-Sockman thing.
Yeah.
He could have really hated that one, too. And then what would have happened in the conversation?
There was other stuff in there for him to hate.
Really?
What
else happened?
At one point, I asked him what it was like playing in Japan last year. He played in Korea last year.
Wait. Can we just re-air this entire thing at 5 o'clock? Wait a minute.
Did you not pull that one, Tanny, because you're a good man? Is that what happened? Because you're a kind-hearted soul.
I'm so kind and great and awesome, but kudos to you for mentioning it because I think we had a good laugh hearing you retell the story.
Oh, yeah, it was good. It was good. I said I was playing in Japan last year, and
can we hear this?
He said, I've never been.
I just said I didn't pull it, man.
Oh, okay. He said
something like, well, I've never been to Japan, but I did play in Korea, if you want to talk about that. And I said, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. So that's on me. If I let Shane make me feel better about the Pounder, I gotta own the fact that
did anything go well with this guy? This sounds amazing.
No, not really.
We have the Palatine Pounder, we have Talkman Sockman, and we have Korea Japan correction.
Yeah. The Pyongyang Pounder says a texture. Maybe he just doesn't want to be known as being from Palatine. Maybe that's what he was going for.
Wow.
Or the Palatine personality. Yeah.
All right. So no. The question is, was it a good hour of hit and run? We had Cliff Floyd, but we also had Mike Tauchman.
Yeah, we did. And me. I was unfortunately you were there. For
was
all of
it a good hour of hit and run?
Well, what breaks the tie here? What did you do in the middle segment? I don't remember. I was in Costco after Cliff Floyd.
Middle segment, I actually played a chunk of the Joe Buck from the PBP, and it was a really good chunk. It was the chunk where Joe told the story. If anybody hasn't listened to it, you should go listen to it. But he told the story of referencing his father's home run call 20 years almost to the day and having the opportunity to do that from one World Series to another, one generation to another. And producer Ryan Port did a great job of weaving all that in. Check out the PBP wherever you get your podcast, by the way. Jason Benetti is the guest this week. Thanks for asking, Chris. But, yeah. Mike Tauchman was how I ended the show.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
A lot of turbulence on landing.
A lot of turbulence.
And it's weird. He was on at 10:20.
Yeah.
Supposed to be on until noon, but I said, you know what? I'm just out.
You're done.
I'm just out.
Texter says Mike Tauchman took the longest pause ever after Spies asked him about playing in Japan.
Yeah.
Dot, 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 dot. Well, I played in Korea.
Oh, God. And I just, I wanted to crawl into a hole.
Oh, I mean,
These things happen.
These things happen.
Yeah.
Was he nice about it?
Yeah, he was cool about it.
All right.
I mean, I said, oh, yeah, I deserve that shot. I'm so sorry. He's like, no, it's okay.
All right.
So he helped me recover. I think he's a decent dude and a great story.
And clearly, yeah. He woke up early on the West Coast and dealt with an experience.
Right. And his freshman biology teacher was listening and texted in.
That's nice.
Yeah. So.
The Palatine. Sockman.
I'm sure if his freshman biology teacher's listening, they're loving this segment.
That's okay.
Well, we're dissecting it like a fetal pig up in here. Freshman biology?
Was it the fetal pig? I guess it was.
That's what I dissected in ninth grade.
Katie, do you remember when we saw a fetal pig in Tinley Park at that amphitheater?
At the I-88 corridor?
Yeah.
Oh, by the Topgolf.
By the Topgolf, yeah. That's where the Bears Stadium should be.
Right.
If you're asking me.
Yeah.
I know you are.
Yeah, that was always a weird day in science class.
The fetal pig?
Yeah, what are we dissecting today? You'd get the scalpel.
Mm-hmm.
Like, now we're going to look at the brain.
Ruben dissected a worm a couple of weeks ago.
I feel like that's better.
Five hearts, I believe, in the inchworm.
And that's why you can like cut a worm in half and they live.
Five different hearts, yeah. Hmm. And they have a gizzard. Did you know that worms have a gizzard? We don't have gizzards. Gizzards like the pre-stomach that has like the stones in it that grinds up stuff so the stomach can process it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We talking stones, we done.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, me neither. Stuff you learn.
That's fascinating.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay.
I'm happy to help.
Yeah, yeah.
And with that, we're not talking about me mistaking Korea for Japan.
Oh, man. I got to listen to Hit and Run more often. A lot of things happen on this show. That's how Ingram should write it up. Things happen on that show.
That's right. When's the list coming out, Jeff?
That is spectacular.
Let's go, Jeffy boy.
That is spectacular.
You know what's going to happen, by the way, with Jeff's list?
He's writing it right now and listening to this segment. He's like, I don't know about that.
Lowering all of our rankings.
18 is the official slot on that list for a member of this show.
It was me a couple years ago and I was angry.
Yep. Me.
James a lock with the Bourbon and a Buddy podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah. Me last year and I was psyched at 18. And I think this year, I think it's going to be Shane.
Shane's making news.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to make a top media list, personality list this year. Check back a few years of my comeback tour.
Okay.
Maybe 2024 will be a little less problematic.
When you do like an eras tour, like what era of Shane was your favorite?
Yeah, I would for sure.
I like this era.
Yeah, this is
a good era for
Shane. I like this era too.
Yeah,
I would dress like him in this era if I was going to a Shane concert.
Attending a Shane concert. Okay.
You know, I wore sweatpants exclusively in 7th and 8th grade.
Oh, man. Yeah. That might be more fun.
Didn't put on jeans until my freshman year of high school.
Good for you.
This is what we were talking about as we're driving around seeing all the Swifties all over Chicago, all dressed in the different eras, which is the thing. Like, hey, please dress up in whatever era. And Christine's like, I would dress up in whichever era was the most comfortable.
Absolutely.
For the night.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because there were Swifties walking around with cowboy boots downtown for like 4 hours yesterday before the concert.
Taylor Swift famously had that pajama pants era.
Yes.
Convenience.
Yeah.
She had
that's not good for an event at Soldier Field.
No.
She had cowboy boots.
She had the fluffy onesie era. That was fun. The hoodie
pajamagrams?
Footy. Yeah, the hoodie footy. The pajamagram hoodie footy era.
Again, Shane and Taylor Swift crossing lives.
Very similar.
Okay. Wow. Did you enjoy your free concert?
I did.
Good for you.
I did. We couldn't hear it with really good clarity, but could definitely hear it. I guess the sound bouncing off the buildings in the South Loop and coming to our balcony. But the neighborhood was so completely infested with sequins just everywhere.
Yes.
Everybody.
People were dressing up.
Uber drivers making a killing. Rickshaw riders. And the drivers making a killing.
They always make a killing.
But
it's a huge racket. It's ridiculous. I paid $50 to get just from Soldier Field to like the end of the campus when I was with my dad when I took him to that.
The college football game?
Terrible experience.
I was a part of it that day.
Yeah.
I drove and picked you guys up at your parking spot and got you as close as I could. Miserable.
The whole thing was miserable start to finish.
Good memory.
It was a really good memory.
But yeah, so that $50 ride for you on a rickshaw.
And I mean, it was worth every penny, but it got me about halfway to my parking spot. I was like, can you please cross the street and take me? I'll keep paying you. He's like, no. This is where it ends.
Yeah.
It's a complete scam.
I heard that was going for $200. Every ride was $200 like that. And they would just take you that little way, turn around, go do it again.
And get another fare.
Yep.
Absolutely outrageous. Shocking sports result that hopefully gives us something to watch going forward. Next on The Score.
Could the Heat foul here?
I'm taking a foul. I'm not allowing them to get off a three.
Denver does have a timeout, but they're not using it. 4 seconds. Murray, step back, three-pointer. Won't go. Fight for the rebound. Martin, and it's over. The Miami Heat have tied the NBA Finals. What a comeback here on the road for the Heat, and it's one apiece.
Keep doubting Jimmy Butler and the Miami Heat culture, and I keep doing that.
Yeah.
And they keep proving me wrong. They now have home court advantage for the NBA Finals after stealing game two.
That's a massive, massive win for the Heat. And a crazy interesting watch, I thought, last night as we were talking about Friday, some watching, some not watching for whatever reason. Enjoyed our conversation Friday about that. If you're a basketball fan who's been in doubt or you like watching the finals when it's interesting, it got really interesting last night.
Yeah, and, you know, Joker's stat line was way different. He only had 4 assists,
yeah,
but he had 41 points. And when other guys are not, like, some of it was Miami Heat adjustments, I thought. Some of it was guys not making shots. Like, Michael Porter Jr. was horrifying.
Yeah,
he was terrible.
He was awful in all kinds of phases. But to your point about the Heat adjusting, they backed off a Joker.
Yeah.
And he didn't fight his way into the post. He scored and or shot or made passes facing up. And that was their choice, and it was apparently it's something they did in the fourth quarter of the game one loss.
Yeah,
I bailed, you know, and wasn't really focused on it because that was such a blowout in game one. But yeah, that changed everything. And as you say, the stat line still looks good with all the scoring, but they're a different team when he's not in the post passing to people at every possible angle.
Yeah, and so obviously it's a series. I still think from just the eye test, Denver is better and more talented and bigger and like a higher offensive ceiling for sure. So I still think they're going to win this thing, but I don't know. I mean, like, honestly, like, I thought the Heat were going to lose to the Bucks.
Yeah.
I thought the Heat were going to lose to the Celtics. I thought they were going to get swept by the Nuggets.
Man.
You know, I mean, at some point, I could just stay being wrong.
There was a moment last night as we were double screening it. What were we watching? Oh, we were watching some show, and I had the NBA Finals on the second screen. And I saw...
Are you embarrassed to tell what the show was?
What was the show, Speaks?
No, it was one... We vacillated between two on Apple TV we're trying. One is High Desert with Patricia Arquette as a former drug addict, private eye. I don't think we're going to keep investing in that. And
I get it.
The other is Schmigadoon, which I absolutely loved season one of. Then now it's Schmicago, so it's like, you know, it's musical theater comedy. So no,
I can see why you're embarrassed to share.
I really thought that was going to go better for us, Danny.
Yeah, me too. All right,
it was the Kardashians. But I don't the second screen. And Bam Adebayo, man, when he was feeling it, and I saw him in the second quarter, I'm like, oh, my God, the Heat are going to win this game. Look at that. Because he did not seem stoppable by just about anybody.
Well, yes, but then in the third quarter, Jokic did not seem stoppable. He was unbelievable. Like, I watched from tip off the final whistle, one screen, volume on. Steph watched something in one room. I was in the other.
At NBA Finals focus.
I was locked in. He was incredible. In the third quarter, he had 18 points in the third quarter. He went behind his back to his left hand in the lane, like through traffic, dove on the floor for a loose ball. He's like 6'11". Mm. Went coast to coast for a layup at one point. I was like, I was thinking about our conversation Friday. I'm like, are we also underselling him at, like,
athletically?
Because
he doesn't look prototypical athletically?
It's not fast at all. And he doesn't explode into dunks at all. So he doesn't jump high. Like, all that is still true. But he's so skilled and so big that, like, when he went behind his back, he was going behind his back right to left, but then he also like turned his right shoulder kind of like with the play, and it was like he was blocking for himself. You know, like it was like a fullback. Like there was no way that you could, because it was such a slow dribble and the ball was out there. It seemed like for forever. I'm like, how did nobody get to that? And it's like, oh, because no one could go through this 280-pound mountain of a polar bear who is barreling through the lane. Like unbelievable.
Right. So how do you define? It's not necessarily athletic, but it's incredibly skilled and graceful, even when it seems cumbersome or awkward. Yeah.
It's like old man game. Like anyone who's played pickup at a rec league or YMCA or something like that. Like there's a guy that has a real slow release set shot that has two knee pads and an elbow brace and is the king of the bounce pass, but he's the best player in the game. That's what this guy is.
It's pretty amazing.
Except it's in the NBA.
Yeah. You know, Michael Porter Jr. being as much of a disaster as he was is really interesting because Miami doesn't have guys who play like disasters. And if they do, they get quickly benched.
Yeah.
And somebody that you've never heard of who was undrafted comes in and you're like, oh, yeah, I get why they like that guy.
Right.
You know, like they're just the Heat freaking culture, man. They were not better than the Knicks, but beat them. They were not better than the Bucks, but beat them. They were not better than the Celtics, but beat them. In terms of talent, you know what I mean? As you're looking around, they're not better than the Nuggets, but they still might beat them because they just play their ass off constantly, and every single guy on the roster does what they're being asked to do.
Well, Michael Malone, the coach of the Nuggets, crushed his team after the game. He was like, I can't believe we're sitting here talking about effort and intensity in the NBA Finals.
Wow.
He was just like, I can't believe it.
I hadn't heard that.
Yeah.
Let's talk about effort. I mean, this is NBA Finals, and we're talking about effort. That's a huge concern of mine. You know, and you guys probably thought I was just making up some storyline after game one when I said we didn't play well. We didn't play well. And tonight, you know, that the starting lineup to start the game is 10-2 Miami. Start the third quarter, they scored 11 points in 2 minutes and 10 seconds. And we just got, you know, we had guys out there that were just – whether feeling sorry for themselves for not making shots or thinking they can just turn it on or off. This is not the preseason. This is not the regular season. It's not round. This is the NBA Finals.
Man. Yeah. Light him up, especially Porter. Porter was lost on defense multiple times, just absolutely useless on the defensive end.
Yeah. The Heat played harder and they stole a road game and now have home court advantage in the NBA Finals. But people have a lot of the things. If the series goes seven, casual fans will tune in. Man, I think it's great.
Yeah, I
think it's fantastic.
I love that it went to that next level last night. And Spoelstra's just so damn good, and the way that they play for him is just freaking remarkable. And look, they played Kevin Love last night, and that worked. You could argue they should have done it in the first game, maybe.
Can we keep saying that those teams are better than them if they won? Like, I mean,
coaching matters, doesn't it?
Well, coaching matters, but that's part of what makes a team good or bad.
Yeah, that's true. I guess talented.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, so like the Bucks won. Giannis got hurt, right? Giannis got. Now they won a game that he missed, but yeah. They also lost the game that he missed, and they lost game one, the game that he got hurt. So they were down 2-1 in the Giannis hurt games, we'll call it. So that seems like a legitimate factor for that. The Bucks swept the Heat when they went and won the finals a couple of years ago.
Well, so, if we're doing pick up ball, let's draft from this game. Right? Everybody's I'll go first. I'm taking Jokic one.
Yeah, that's a good pick.
Yeah.
Jimmy Butler.
Okay, I'll go Jamal Murray, and I'm psyched. I feel like I have two of the best three players.
Which is how it should be if we're...
I agree.
Drafting.
Nailed it. All right.
Team.
Then where do you go?
Yeah. And then where do you go? I mean, Caleb Martin.
Really?
I don't know, man. He's been unbelievable.
See, not Bam? You're not guy? If I were you, I'd go Bam, but that's your call.
Yeah, I probably go Bam.
So now
I have Jimmy Butler and Bam. So right. Now, and you have the Nuggets and I have the Heat.
Right.
Well, I'm up 2-1.
Okay, but the next pick is probably Aaron Gordon or Michael Porter Jr. Those are probably the next two picks. What do you think?
Yeah. In terms of pure talent.
So like
Porter Jr. is the next best player in terms of pure talent.
And
if he's
a freaking dog, as he was last night.
Yeah, he was good in game one. He's been good in the playoffs. I don't know. Jokic is so good that it should make up for everything. But yeah. I love what Jimmy was the same way, man. Like, he is a facilitator for the first three quarters of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And then with like 8 minutes left, it's all right, balls in his hands every time down the floor. And we'll just see what happens.
Yeah.
It's like he's got to keep the game, like, as long as the game's close, and then Jimmy Butler gets it at the end. He's going to have an and one. He's going to have a crazy play. It's like he's preserving himself for maximum usage the last 8 minutes.
I'm going to commit to live betting these games on FanDuel, of course, where I play. But I'm going to, because I feel like I had a real good read on that one early and I didn't get in, and probably could have done pretty well. So I'm going to watch and trust my read. I feel like you can read the Heat. And, you know, just read when those nights when it's just like, oh, they're not going to allow anybody to win this game but them. Okay, that's what they're doing. Okay, got it.
All right. I mean, last night they were up 11 in the first quarter and then down 10 pretty quick. But yeah, it game of runs, and they are very, very much alive. It's Parkinson Spiegel on the Score.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
Well, that, and there's the name.
Afternoons on the Score.
Any more brain busters?
All right, so this, if you were watching the finals closely, you said you were second screening it for a while.
True.
They just said this as an aside. And maybe they've said this before and I've missed it because I was watching more casually. But this blew my mind, and so it happened during the finals, so that gives a significant clue here. But player in the NBA who has played the most games in the league in the last decade.
Who has played the most games in the last decade?
Who has appeared in the most basketball games in the NBA in the last decade? Not just of the two teams. Any player in the league happens to be on one of these two teams in the finals. No one in the league. So it's not LeBron. It's not, you know, it's not Harden. It's
right.
You know, it's,
I'm trying to remember if Jimmy's been hurt. So Jimmy's my first guess.
Is that your guys' guess?
Yeah, it's my guess too.
Right? No.
All right, let me go Aaron Gordon.
No.
Felt good about that
one. Jeff Green?
It's not Jeff Green. Great guess.
Oh, that is a great guess. How about
he's been grinding in the league for like 15 years, man. Jeff Green, I think I covered him in college.
You might have.
Yeah.
I loved him at Georgetown,
yeah,
too.
I think my year that I was working back in Syracuse was his year at Georgetown. So like 2010 or something like that, 2011.
That's incredible.
Yeah, pretty sure.
Is it Kyle Lowry?
It is not Kyle Lowry.
Wow, this is a good one. I like this one. Is it Kevin Love?
It is not Kevin Love. Kentavious Caldwell Pope.
Wow, never would have got to KCP.
Has played more games than any player in the NBA in the last decade.
You down with KCP, Spence?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, you know me.
Hooray. Breen said it as like an aside.
Songs, right?
And Jeff Van Gundy was like, what an accomplishment for KCP. And I was thinking, that is an incredible accomplishment.
And guess what? That is exactly the context with which Cliff Floyd brought up Todd Pratt on Hit and Run. It's exactly it. Like, we don't give enough credit to guys for just hanging around, having a career, living a life in the league.
Yeah, so that's what I wanted to kind of talk about. Like, when you think of guys like that, so like I was thinking of Frank Gore, and I get a ton of pushback on that because everyone's like, Frank Gore's a Hall of Famer. And he probably is, because in that sport, it's basically impossible just to hang around. And his compiling stats and is the sheer volume of it is going to be overwhelming. Even though for me, a Hall of Famer, I would have liked his peaks to be better. I would like him to have more double-digit touchdown seasons, more 1,000-yard seasons, any All-Pros, things like that.
Yeah.
But an all-time kept showing up to work every day. And Kentavious Caldwell Pope, dude's made $88 million in the NBA, and he's under contract for another $30 million over the next 2 years, and he's still just 30 years old. Like, he stays healthy, he plays on good teams, and he grinds, man.
Is Patty Mills still in the NBA? That dude just keeps on going and going until, of course, he doesn't, if he's not.
Yeah, I think he is.
Okay.
Right? Nets.
Okay.
Yeah, Nets this year. But played in 40 games.
That's one of the first guys that came to mind.
All right.
Total
good name.
Total star in college.
Yep. 34 years old, still grinding.
Okay, right. Great shooter, just keeps on going.
Yeah. Texas put out Udonis Haslem. Yeah. But
still on the Heat.
Still on the Heat, still grinding.
He carried the Bob Cousy trophy in Boston.
Yes.
Udonis got that honor.
I don't know. My guy, Rex Hudler, 10 in the minors, 10 in the majors, a year in Japan.
Oh, it's amazing.
Just grinded his way to a 10-year big league career to get the lifetime pension.
DeMar DeRozan's got to be up there, right?
Oh, yeah. DeMar's had a really amazing career. I mean,
because he came in after just 1 year in college and is, what, 34?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, he's played for, got to be 14 years.
How about my guy, Bronson Arroyo, 16 years.
16 years of grinding.
There was a moment at one of those hot stove concerts where he said, yeah, this is going to be my first time not being in baseball since 1994. And I was like, what? And like, I didn't think he was that old.
That's crazy.
But yeah. No, totally. I mean, Steve Stone just threw it in the other day when I was talking about something. 14 years for Steve Stone. You know, I mean, he had the one, obviously, great year where he wins the Cy Young with Baltimore, but we're talking about the Giants and the Cubs and the White Sox and, I mean, a long time.
Do you know who leads the NBA? I'm sure you do, in games played.
All time?
Yeah.
Leads the NBA all time in games played. Is it John Havlicek? No, there's not enough games in the season.
No.
Or in the playoffs.
The Chief, Robert Parrish.
Robert Parrish leads all time in games played.
There's a point here. Second is Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Uh-huh.
Third,
LeBron James.
Vince Carter still grinding. Isn't Vince Carter still on the Hawks?
Yeah, I think a couple weeks ago he came out and said he's got one more season left in him.
Vince Carter?
No.
Yes, man. If Vince Carter, I think he's still playing, right? And he's gonna do one more year with Atlanta.
I thought he was a basketball analyst for ESPN. He's 46. What are you thinking of?
Is Vince Carter not still grinding occasionally?
Vince Carter's 46. He hasn't played since 2020 for the Atlanta Hawks.
All right.
Fine. Yeah, no, Danny, I'm with you. I thought he was still playing, too.
Okay, well, then I just saw...
You're not crazy for that.
All right, my bad. Vince...
No, you're crazy for a lot of other things.
No, I mean, all right. So he was... But he was 1 year away from most games all time.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Vince Carter, if he would have played one more full season, could have passed Robert Parrish games played. That is unbelievable.
It is unbelievable. I remember hearing earlier in the playoffs that LeBron is going to pass Kareem next year for all-time minutes. minutes played.
Yes.
Which is a good way to think about.
Yeah, the mileage.
The mileage on the man.
Yeah.
Deep playoff runs every single year after 20 years in the league.
Yeah, but I was just thinking about that. Someone said you should name this stat after Keenan Thompson or Daryl Hammond.
Yeah.
Yeah, but so I was like, damn, man, KCP shows up for work.
Incredible.
Plays on good teams, cashes checks, obviously longtime LeBron teammate, but I thought that was such a cool thing and like so much respect, and like we all aspired to this at some form or fashion, and like that guy's not a star, never will be, but grinded out an unbelievable career.
Yeah, so Cliff Floyd, 17 years in MLB, he told me yesterday. I hadn't realized it was 17.
Unbelievable. And yeah, now we are just doing that segment from Hit and Run of naming names.
Come on. Yeah. It's fun, though, isn't it?
But
you're out there, you're working construction, you're like, I totally remember these people.
But it's so...
Keep going.
What I thought was so cool about it was how unassuming it is.
Yeah.
Like, you guys named four guys in the finals, totally all reasonable guesses. My guess for sure would have been Jimmy Butler
now,
among the guys in the finals.
I am going to find out during this commercial break which baseball player has played the most games over the last 10 seasons.
Okay, the last 10 seasons.
Should I include this season so far so it's somebody who's active?
I mean, this is your research project.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm going to include this season so far so it's somebody who's active, probably. So, since I assume
there's no way to know.
Yeah, well.
So, but yeah, all right.
All right, I'm on it.
All right, you come up with that.
Thanks, man.
No problem. We have the Tao of Dansby Swanson, a potential local all-star campaign that we still have to get to. Going to talk a ton of Cubs and Sox coming up. Parker's the Spiegel on the Score.
Now it's good to have fun with names.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.